studying through the book of Luke, learning about living the gospel life. Hey, by the way, kiddos, do y'all know what this is? We got some of these sheets that Miss Angela made for Gospel Life families. And you can use these for taking notes. There's some of them on the back. We actually took some to India and left them with the missionaries there. But you can use this to draw pictures, take notes. There's sheets in the back and there's crayons and markers. So feel free, kids, to grab one and use it while I preach to take notes, to write down what you're learning, or even to draw pictures about what you're learning. It's such a big deal. And if you do, please come show me after the service, after we gather and worship. Please come show me and teach me about it, what you learned. I got a great story for you. It's a story that you're familiar with. I've been praying that the familiarity of this story wouldn't distract us from the power of it. This is a wonderful gospel story. I've been begging God to just help us, whatever level you're in right now. Look, you could be in this room and not even know God. You could be in this room and think you know God, but you really don't. You could be in this room and be very religious, but not saved. You could be in this room and be saved and have tasted the grace of God, but you're back to trying to work and earn His favor, and that's exhausting. Maybe you're here and you're broken and you're ready and you're ripe. Maybe you're here and you're in Christ and you're absolutely living the gospel life. This is just another tool for the tool belt, just another reminder of God's call for His church. But let me just ask you right where you are just for a moment. Ponder this. Where were you when Jesus found you? Where were you? What were your circumstances? What was going on in your heart? Where were you when Jesus flicked on that light switch? Did you deserve His mercy? Where are you now? Where are you now? Has Jesus flipped on that light switch yet? I think there's a few types of folks that benefit from a message like this. One, y'all, legalism is exhausting. Bondage, trying to do good enough, but never good enough. Or some of us, maybe you took the path I took, you see God's word as super restrictive and a killjoy. Keeps you from having any fun. So you want to be free to do what you want. Whether you're trying to earn your righteousness by keeping God's word, or just trying to rebel against it to have a good time. We all need grace. So let's look at this passage together. Luke chapter 10. The story of the Good Samaritan, verse 25. And behold, or in North Mississippi, check this out. A lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." I love Jesus. I love the way He responds. He says to him, "Well, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you'll live. And y'all are thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean? Is this works-based? Keep reading. But he, that's the lawyer, desiring to what? Justify himself, said to Jesus. Classic lawyer move, right? Loophole. And who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love like this? Or who's not my neighbor? Who do I not have to love like this? Jesus replied, classic Jesus, replying with stories, questions, flipping this a little bit. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it says going down. It's about an 18-mile journey, rocky terrain, great hiding places for robbers. And it's like a 3,600 foot in elevation decline. So picture like going down the mountain like that. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now you realize if you're half dead, you're only half alive. Verse 31. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Spent the night with him. Verse 35, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay it when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. What a story for today, for God's people. What a story for living the gospel life. Lord Jesus, would you speak to every heart in this room? Meet us where we are. Reveal yourself to us. Holy Spirit, illuminate your word. Help us to rightly apply it to our lives. God, help us to see the goodness of your gospel and to be able to love with your love. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's break down a few things, okay? By the way, one of my jobs is to bring the word of God to you, right? But also is to disciple and to teach and to equip, right? It's not just good enough for me to feed you, but to teach you to feed yourself, right? And this passage is so good. Y'all remember those questions that we ask sometimes? Who, what, when, where, why, how? If you go back through this story on your own and ask those questions, it will come to life. Let me show you what I mean. Who is it that stood up to put Jesus to the test? A lawyer. Now, that means an expert in the law. Don't think like lawyer at the courthouse. Think about a guy that knew the law of God and would teach others the law of God. And what is his motive? What's he seeking to do? Huh? He's trying to put Jesus to the test right now. Before you're too crazy hard on this lawyer, I want you to think. This is a guy that has position, that has studied the word, that and then you got this Jesus, this wandering itinerant preacher that the masses are starting to follow. I mean, if if you guys started coming to me and telling me about this new teacher that's doing all this radical stuff, I'd be wanting to kind of test him out myself, right? Like, that's one of my jobs, to protect the sheep, you know? Put Jesus to the test. Well, what's the ultimate question? Salvation, right? I mean, like, if you and I can come together around the true gospel, then we may not agree on everything, but we can agree on that. We're brothers in Christ. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he's off, right? Do. What must I do to obtain, to get eternal life? Classic Jesus, early on. You going to test me? Let me test you back. Oh, what's in the Word? You're the expert lawyer. How do you understand it? How do you understand God's Word? Well, he gives him the two greatest commandments, right? You got the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy 6. We read it earlier. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, with your strength. Now think about that. All. That's a little bitty word. All. But it means all. Who in this room loves God with every fiber of your being all the time? I mean, you want to, right? With all of your thoughts, every single thought is a thought about loving Him. Oh man, I done fell short already. All of your effort, all of your strength, your might is giving towards knowing Him and loving Him and living for His kingdom. Oh man, we all fall short, don't we? And then to love your neighbor as yourself, guys, I don't even love my actual neighbor like that, much less all of mankind. This word love is agape. There are several words in Greek that describe different types of love. You have romantic love. You have brotherly love. This is God's love. Selfless love. Giving to those who don't even deserve it love. Like how God loves you and me. It's a laying down myself for others' love. It's a consider others more important than myself love. It's a love that is compassionate and merciful towards others, whether they deserve it or not. We all fall short, right? I mean, think about it. Jesus said, yeah, you've answered correctly. You go do this and you'll live. But the lawyer had a problem. He doesn't love like that. So what was he seeking to do now? Looking for that loophole. Justification. I need to but not be justified by someone outside of me. He's trying to justify himself. Now, we've all been guilty of that too, right? Don't we love to rationalize our sin? Don't we love to make it sound a little bit better than it actually is? Don't we talk ourselves out of how, like, you share the gospel with these random people and they're like, well, I'm a good person. Right? Don't we seek, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I mean, compared to Guy, I'm not that bad. Guy's like, I was thinking the same thing about you, bro. We can't justify ourselves, but we seek to try to, right? Now, listen to what is happening. The lawyer says, well, who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love with that kind of love? And who can I just not? Because, by the way, wouldn't it be exhausting if we were trying to earn our righteousness before God by doing these things? Can you imagine the exhaustion? Can you imagine the frustration? Can you imagine how hard it would be to make sure every single thought you had was only loving Him, every action, with the immaterial, the soul, your very core being of who you are, with every bit of your passion, every bit of your heart, all of your might is going to loving Him. Now, by the way, if Jesus said you've answered correctly, if you actually love God like this, and if you actually love your neighbor like this, then you're not going to sin against them, right? Think about it. If I really love God like this, then I'm not going to have idols because my affections are only for Him. If I really love God like this, I'm not going to use His name in vain because I cherish it. If I really love God like this, then I'm going to keep His commandments. That's what Jesus said, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. And if I really love my neighbor as myself, y'all, think about this. What if I always treated you the way that I wanted to be treated? I would not sin against you because I don't want people sinning against me. I don't want people stealing my truck. I don't want people breaking into my house. I don't want people just trying to have an affair with my wife. I wouldn't be doing those things if I love my neighbor as myself either. So yeah, if you do this, you'll live. Guess what? Newsflash. If you stopped sinning from this moment on and never sinned again for the rest of your life, you still got a boatload of sin from yesterday that has to be dealt with. So we do what? We seek to justify ourselves. We need justification, but it's not going to come from us. Let's keep looking. So what happens? Jesus flips it around with another question. By the way, it's a great tactic, right? If you're sharing the gospel with people, follow Jesus' lead. Like, there's a great example to follow here. He tells them a story and then asks him the better question. He doesn't answer, who is your neighbor? He answers, how to be a neighbor. Check it out. There's a man. He's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among robbers. You know what that means? He got robbed. He got jacked. They strip him, they beat him, and they leave him laying in the dirt, half dead or half alive. He may have just looked dead. Well, it's his lucky day. A priest is coming by. Surely a priest is going to help him. The priest is the one, the mediator between God and his people, the one who's in the temple making offerings for the nation of Israel. A priest surely is going to help him, but he sees the guy. And he doesn't just walk by. He goes to the other side of the road, and I can see him just trying to sneak past the guy. Oh, no. Priest didn't help him. Why? Maybe because he didn't want to become ceremonially unclean. Maybe because he was too busy. Maybe because it was too much inconvenience. Maybe he was afraid that the robbers were still around. We just don't know. But then a Levite comes. Now, the priests are from the line of Aaron. The Levites are from the line of, guess what? Levi, come on. Good job. The Levites were assistants to the priests. They would help in the offerings. They are considered holy people. Why is the Levite walking by on the other side? We don't know. It doesn't say. Here's what we know. They didn't show compassion. They didn't show love. They were not good neighbors, right? They needed a lesson from State Farm, I guess. Just seeing if y'all are with me. I know it's cheesy. That wasn't in my notes, John. So, we can get so sidetracked wondering why they didn't stop. Here's my question. Why do we not stop? While I was in India, Megan had a bad day. She had a blowout. Tire. She's like, it was my tire. Specify. If you're a nurse, you might get that, or a mama. Tire blows out. And they make these things so hard to find these days. Like, where's my jack and where's the tools? You might find the jack. Where's the spare? There's the spare. How do you get it down, you know? And so she calls my dad. My dad's always ready to help. That's who I call, too, when I need help. And so he's on his way, but then another man stops. In modern-day vernacular, we might call him a good Samaritan. He knew exactly what to do. He knew where to find all the stuff. He knew how to get the tire down, and so he helped her out. Now, ultimately, That was God taking care of my bride, right? I mean, don't miss the big picture. That was God taking care of Megan. But he used one of his own to do so. Y'all know LaBelle Havens down the road. They are actually over one of our partner churches. They help support us financially. The guy that stopped and helped is a member at LaBelle Haven. Being a good Samaritan. How many times have you driven past somebody and thought, I should probably stop, but I don't have time? They look like they need help, but I'm scared. How many times have you been prodded by the Spirit? I need to help that person financially. John read from us in 1 John, like, you don't love your brothers just by word, but with deed as well, right? But I need to help them, but my money's all tied up. I done spend it on stuff that is not eternal, right? Like, we lack margin. I think that's a big deal in America, right? We lack margin. When I say margin, what I mean is just excess space, time carved out, time and even money. Listen, leave margin in your schedule so you can help people. Leave margin in your schedule so that you can have time to share the gospel with those when God prods your heart when you're out and about instead of being so in a hurry. Leave margin in your checking account so you can help people. Budget it. Put money aside in your monthly budget just for helping and see what God might do. I think we lack margin. I think sometimes we're just inconvenienced. We lack love, right? We lack compassion. It's so easy sometimes just to overlook things instead of actually allowing our hearts to be moved. You know what I'm talking about? It's inconvenient sometimes, isn't it, to show compassion. It actually hurts. The word compassion is a compound word, and it's related to hurting in your guts. Moms and dads, I think, can identify with this. You've seen some before your kid get hurt, and you actually felt it in your body. You know what I'm talking about? You can actually feel their pain. I was laughing with Micah. We were yesterday morning talking about this passage together. When he was a little kid and his buddies got hurt, every time he'd start blinking and his eyes would start to kind of well up. He didn't just cry, but he was compassionate. He felt compassion for his buddies that got hurt. Now, we see what not to do. Let's look at what to do. We see what not being a neighbor looks like. What does being a neighbor look like? Here's a Samaritan. Don't miss this, y'all. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? When Jesus was tired from his journey and he asked her for a drink of water, do you remember how she responded? How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? And the parentheses there, the explanation for the reader was, for Jews do not have dealings with Samaritans. You know the history, right? There was a lot of bad blood, a lot of racial, cultural tension. I heard about a church in a penitentiary down in Parchman run by inmates. And this is how the guy that was telling me about it told me. He said, I've never seen anything like it. You got all these guys in one church from all these different gangs and all these different backgrounds, and they're family together. That's the gospel. Gangs usually don't hang out together, opposite gangs especially. Former gang members, might I say, who are now followers of Jesus that are bridging the gap. But I think about it, I just can't help get my mind out of living in the South, the racial tension that our area has felt. There's racial tension today. There's no secret about it. But think about, like, pre-civil rights. I mean, there were people absolutely persecuted and harmed and beaten and killed just for because a black man dared look at a white woman. There were the KKK in this area, in Cochran, was alive and well, oppressing and keeping the black citizens in check, if you will. Right? I don't mean that literally, but that's how the view was. Can you imagine if a black man had been mistreated by, and they would have known who the KKK leaders were, right? Mistreated by that man his whole life. But then he saw the grand wizard of the KKK robbed and beaten and laid bloody in the street. And so then the black man goes and helps him. That's this picture of the Samaritan helping this Jewish person. I hope it helps. I know it's graphic stuff and we don't like talking about controversial things. That's the picture here. They're hated. They're looked down upon. A good Jew would often avoid Samaria, even if the shortest route was to go through Samaria. They would often avoid walking through Samaria because they didn't want the dust of Samaria on their shoes. And then if they did walk through Samaria, when they got to the border, they would clap their shoes off to leave the dust of Samaria there while they walked into their land. You see the tension, the divide? The Samaritan is the hero of this story. It's such a beautiful thing. Jesus is flipping this all around. There's a greater picture. Watch what he does. First he sees him. Then he has compassion, mercy, pity, love. And he goes to him. He doesn't walk by on the other side, but he goes to him and he bandages him up and he uses oil and wine to clean his wounds. He puts him on his own animal and he takes him to town and he gets a room at the inn and he stays with him the night. I mean, this is costly. This is not just costing him finances. This is humility. This is him serving someone that likely would not have served him. This is giving up his time. I mean, spending the night there. And then he gets up the next morning and he gives the innkeeper 2 denarii, which is a denarii is a day's wage. So 2 full days worth of wages, and says this should be plenty to take care of him while I'm gone. But when I come back, if you need more, I'll repay you. Just make sure he's okay. And Jesus says, now which of these two do you think proved to be a neighbor? And can't you just hear the scribe not even wanting to say it? He didn't say the Samaritan. He might have even mumbled it. I suppose the one who showed him mercy. Mercy. When I think of mercy, I think of Jesus. When I think of being in a ditch, y'all ever been in a ditch? I mean, literally or figuratively, I've been in both. I've been in a couple ditches. Y'all ever found yourself beaten up? What did Jesus say the thief came to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. But what did Jesus come to do? To give us life. What kind of life? Abundant life. Full life. Joyful life. We've all been that one that was beat up and bloodied and not even half dead. We were, the Bible says, dead, right? Spiritually dead. The law of God, y'all, is good. The law of God is life. Not if you're trying to use it to earn your salvation, then it's death. But if you're using it as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, it gives clarity and guidance, and it's meant for your good. God's law is good. It's treasure. It's sweet like honey. It gives life to those who live by it. Think about Psalm 1. The man that is happy or blessed is not the one walking in the counsel of the wicked, or standing in the path of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scoffers, but the man who is blessed, the man whose life is happy, the man whose life is abundant and full of life, is the one who delights in God's Word and meditates on it day and night. He's going to be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, whose leaf never withers and bears fruit in season. That's what God's Word is to us who believe. Not to those of you who are trying to earn your righteousness by keeping it, then it's death. But God's Word is good, y'all. It's a treasure. It's a gift. But the law doesn't save us. The law shows us our need for a Savior. The law shows us that we need a good Samaritan. Follow me. We were dead in our trespasses and our sin. And God demonstrated His love for us. Y'all, we were beaten up, bloodied, bruised, in bondage, in slavery to our sin. And Jesus, while we were still sinners, died for our sin. That's love. That's agape love. That's selfless love. That's others first. Jesus died in our place because the wages of sin is death. It's got to be paid for by death. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to this life. Y'all, I just sat next to a lady from Russia on the airplane in India. Sounds like a beginning of a crazy joke. First we got a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Now I'm on a plane with a lady from Russia in India. Sound like a beginning of a joke, doesn't it? And I'm sharing my testimony. And I mean, like, actually, John, I gave her one of the four. Taught her how to teach it back to me. She is steeped in Buddhism. She spent a week in a, what do you call them, a monastery. She thought she would clear her thoughts. And she said while she was there, she just had anxious thoughts upon anxious thoughts upon anxious thoughts. Why? There's no grace. In Buddhism, in Sikhism, in Jainism, in Islam, in Hinduism, in any other strong religious structure, there's no grace. There's no hope. You can't be good enough. You'll never be good enough. And right where we were, in the ditch, Jesus didn't walk by. He came up to us. He dressed our wounds. He bandaged us up. He carries us. Y'all, I don't trust my goodness for salvation. I don't trust the fact that I can do it now to keep me saved. I blow it every day. But it's Jesus that is keeping me saved. It's the love of God at work in me that makes me love others. I don't love y'all because you're so lovable. Newsflash. I'm not so lovable. Hang out with me for a little while and you'll figure it out. I got an amen over here from the peanut gallery. When we have tasted the compassion, the mercy, the love of God that we do not deserve, how could we not love Him back? And if we love Him back, how could we not love one another? Go and do likewise. Not to earn it, but because it's been given to you freely, you freely love others with his love. You cannot do this in your own power. Listen to me, believer. This is a daily surrender to Jesus. If you're not loving people with his love, then that's a newsflash. You're not spirit-filled. It means I need to go back to the source, and I need to say, God, help me, because I can't do it in my own power. But would you love others through me? Jesus said, if you abide in me, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. How much nothing do we do? Whew. But when we abide in him, he loves others through us. Don't you want for God to use you like that? Don't you want to be used by God to show his love to others? Don't you want to love God like this? It's all about the gospel. The gospel life, guys. We'll close with this. I mean, there's so many great examples of those who have lived the gospel life. There's so many great metaphors in Scripture. I think about Corrie ten Boom, the book of The Hiding Place, and the way that they risked everything to save a few lives. I watched a movie on the airplane called, what was it called? One Life, what's it called? One Life, about a guy, just a normal old regular guy that was compassionate and saved like over 600 kids from Poland from the Nazis. And he was finding them sponsors in Britain, and he was sending trains to pick them up, and he was documenting all this. It's a wonderful movie. It's a very moving movie. God can use us, regular people, to do mighty things when we are filled with his compassion. So, if there's any area in your life, sin that's keeping you from abiding, turn from it and ask him to forgive you and help you to live a spirit-filled life. If there's any lack of compassion, ask God to work in your heart. Depend on him to do it through you. Don't start saying, well, I guess I better love harder. I'm going to love harder. We can't bear it up ourselves. It has to be him doing it through us. So here's my question. Number one, are you a child of God? Have you been rescued out of that ditch? Are you still in it? He loves you. You know how I know? Because he died for you. And he'll rescue you. And I'm telling you, whether you're trying to earn it and by keeping the word, the law, or you're resisting the law so you can have fun, it's both futility and emptiness. But when you come to him, he gives you abundant life. Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your hope? Because that's the gospel life. We can't do this in our own power. We can't save ourselves, and we can't live it out. It has to be Jesus doing it in us and through us. So that's my encouragement to you today. Let's bow our heads, and just I want to give you a chance to ponder for a moment. Are there any areas in your heart that are not under submission to Christ? Would you submit them to him today? Are you loving others with his love? Have you tasted and seen? Have you experienced his mercy? Are you being used by God to show that mercy to others?